wisdom's great
height. Our Bible lesson for this morning is found in St. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, where we read as follows. Now it happened as they went that he entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends our scripture reading for this morning. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Lord, the busyness of our times steal our peace, steal us sometimes so far from you. Renew us, Lord, by your word this morning, and teach us that you are the one thing needful. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I like this story, don't you? In fact, I think most Christians can resonate with this story. I mean, these two ladies could be my two sisters. My sisters often acted like this. I won't say which one of my sisters was one of these women, or my brother and myself, for that matter. We've acted like this 1,000 times. But within this realistic playing out of emotions that we read in this story, there are some important lessons. For example, look at Martha. Look at her rushing around, trying to prepare everything for Jesus. I can just picture her in my mind getting more and more frustrated every time she walks into the room, can't you? More agitated every time she walks by the door and sees Mary sitting there. I could see her muttering under her breath, "That lazy sister of mine, why didn't she get in here and help me?" Can't you hear that? That's human nature, isn't it? Pretty soon, she can't stand it, can she? And she goes in, and she says a prayer. Blurts it out, might be more like it. And she says to Jesus these words, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." She gives orders to the Lord, doesn't she? "Tell her to help me." She just tries to order the Lord Jesus around there and get him to do what she wants. I detect in this prayer of Martha, I detect an accusation here. An accusation against Mary, but also an accusation against the Lord. "Lord, don't you care," she says. "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself?" I hate to say it, but I've made accusations like that sometimes. "Lord, my loved ones are suffering down here. Don't you see it?" And then, of course, the second half of that prayer, "Well, then why don't you do something, Lord? Haven't you said something like that before?" I'll bet there's not a person in this room who hasn't been there. I'll tell you something. When Jesus appears to not be doing anything, he's doing exactly what you need him to do. Look at this. Look at what happens in this passage. Finally with Martha. Finally her frustration builds to the point where it drives her to Jesus, doesn't it? Now both sisters are listening to Jesus, and that's what he wants. And I wonder how often my frustrations and yours, I wonder how often the headaches of this life and the heartaches, I wonder how often those are God's way of breaking through the busyness of your schedule, of your life, and saying to you, you need to be still and know that I am God. You need to drink in the peace that flows from me, from my word. I think there is a little accusation in what Martha says there. Even so, look how patiently Jesus responds. Not a trace of anger. You know, I would have been tempted to say, Martha, will you just be quiet? And by the way, Mary, get in there and help your sister. Now, see, that's what I would have said. But not Jesus. He knows what's important. And he's very patient in what he says to Martha. Listen again to what he says. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. That's our motto here at Bethany, isn't it? One thing needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. In other words, no, Martha, I'm not going to send Mary into the kitchen and help you. She's going to stay right here with me, where she needs to be, listening to me. What was Martha's problem here? You know, Martha's problem was this, that she couldn't distinguish between something that was good and something that was the best. She was serving Jesus. Now, that's a good thing, right? She's fixing a meal for the Lord himself. What a good thing to do, right? But you know what? When God is sitting in your living room, you ought not be in the kitchen. Right? That's the point here, right? And what was good was serving Jesus, but what was better was listening to Jesus. Boy, that is a hard lesson to learn for me, you know? That listening to him is more important than even serving him. Listening to him is more important than anything, in fact. It is the one thing needful. Jesus and the words he was speaking to Mary, that's what he means when he says that, the one thing needed. But it is the one thing that is needed. How would you have ever come to know that God cares a whit about you if you had not heard it? How would you have ever come to know that God not only cares a whit about you, he loves you. He loves you so much that he came and he died on that cross for you. Now, how would you ever know that had you never heard it? How would you know that he's washed your sins away so that even those selfish, insulting prayers I sometimes make, you sometimes make, have been all washed away in Jesus' blood? He's removed them as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. But you would never know it except that the Bible tells you so. There's a sequence that we find in the Bible, and it starts with this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, no matter how much you want to serve him, unless you trust him, he doesn't accept it as something worthwhile. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But where does faith come from? And the Bible again answers that question. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to please him, you first must hear him. And then he will work in you to will and to do his good pleasure. And so that's why Jesus says that Mary is doing the one thing above all else that is necessary. May God work in you and me so that we will go and do likewise. Amen. Would you please rise for prayer? We have a special prayer request this morning on behalf of our brother in Christ, Professor Mark Harstad, who is now in the final stages of terminal cancer. We pray. Our gracious Father, we come before you this morning on behalf of your servant Mark and his wife Peggy, and all of the members of their family. In these difficult days, watch over them with your fatherly care and love. Strengthen them through your word and sacrament. Through the blessings of medicine, relieve his suffering according to your will. Support Mark in his final hours with your mercy and grant him a blessed departure from this world through the merits of your Son who has died and risen again to give us the hope of eternal life. May this sad news be used to stir up our hearts in deeper devotion to the things of your kingdom. We commit them all, the Harstad family, into your gracious hands, knowing that you have promised to work all things for the good of those who are called into faith in your Son, in whose name we bring this request. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you and make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.